Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. And of course, that phone number is the number you call if you are listening to our podcast after downloading it. But today's episode, we're trying to do a bit of a live thing where we're doing this through Facebook Live. And if you are watching us right now live on Facebook Live, you can call in at a different number exclusively at this time. Don't call it after the live thing is done because it's not going to work. So if you're watching us right now live on Facebook, 662-254-4678 is the number to dial in, and you will get me right here, right now, and we can talk, and I can chat about ghosts with you live. So a little bit of a different format today, but I thought it'd be kind of fun to do this. We did it like this a while ago. It's been probably a couple months at least, but kind of getting this set back up and wanting it to go, because it was fun. It was fun doing the live calls in the past. So if you're watching us live on Facebook right now, hello, everybody. I'm not going to be able to type everything back or answer every question, but feel free if you're on Facebook live right now to post your questions and comments, and I will do my best to answer them as we continue on with the show today. And also, please do dial us right there at 662-254-4678. It is the 21st of July. Right around 1:54 in the afternoon Central Time. Just so the folks who are watching right now know, this is not like a recorded broadcast that they're watching. This is live if you're watching it on Facebook Live. So please do dial in, and I'd love to get a couple live calls here onto this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Excited about this. There you go. So that's how this episode is going to work. I want to let everybody else know, if you're watching us on Facebook Live right now, or even just listening to us, our other podcast, Dream Meanings. EPPs have access to the episodes before anybody else right now up at ghostpodcast.com. But it's about to go live. I've submitted our feed to iTunes earlier, and very, very soon here, we're going to be going live there, which I'm really excited about. I'm excited about being able to have a whole other whole other show going on, whole other, kind of set of topics and everything. And that'll be going live onto iTunes and Stitcher and all that very soon. So be on the lookout for that. And please press subscribe there and help that show grow as well. It's always fun doing all these shows with you guys. All right. So again, 662-254-4678, the number to call in if you're watching us live right now. Talk about the show, talk about ghost stories, or of course, if you're watching us or listening to us through the podcast, 855-853-4802, our normal number, but that's not going to ring to me live right now if you are watching and you would like to dial in. Got some calls lined up here that have called in earlier, so we will go to one of those to kick off the show. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey guys, I'm calling in from Arkansas, a few miles south of you, but my story takes place on the family farm in Midwest Ohio. This is a story that I've heard from several people. It involves my family, and I've heard it from my family. I've heard it from strangers at the bar. A lot of people know this story back home. So it was somewhere around 1975 or so, and spring had come early, and my uncle was out farming, and the local newspaper came out and took a picture of him. It was news in the local farming community because winter had ended a little bit earlier than usual, and farmers were out much earlier than they had been in previous years. So in the field where the picture was taken, it's basically, they took the picture from the road, and behind my uncle was just more field for about a quarter mile or so, and then another road, but just trees and more field behind it. Nothing was really there. But when they had the picture developed and it was put in the newspaper, there was a farm behind my uncle. And my grandfather said there had been a farm there many years ago, like in the 1930s or something. And in the picture, you could see an old windmill, an old pickup truck, and a few other things, so the story goes. And my uncle went to the newspaper and got a copy of the picture, a very clear copy of the picture. And they were really freaked out by it. And my uncle's girlfriend took it to a college professor who teaches photography, who was able to confirm that the picture had not been doctored and it was not double exposed. Now, naturally, right around that time, my uncle and his girlfriend broke up and the picture was lost. So I have never actually seen the picture. It's just been in the lore of the family and the local community where I grew up. So one of these days, I really need to go to the library in Ohio and dig up the old microfiche of that daily newspaper and find that picture to see what we can see. But like I said, lots of people in the community have told this story to me. It's not just my family that brings it up. So, well-known story, pretty cool story. I wish I had the picture to send to you, but I don't. Anyway, keep up the good work. Thanks. Bye.
Of course, my first question was going to be, can you send us the picture? Obviously, the answer to that is no. Another place to find that picture could possibly be through the newspaper itself, if it still exists. And obviously, a lot of newspapers have come and gone over the last many years with things being consolidated and going out of business. But that might be another place to look if you can narrow down the date of when this occurred. That could probably be another place. But yeah, the microfilm, if you can find it, just getting it would be so cool. That would be such an awesome photo. And if you do find it, please do send it into us, because that would be, that would be cool to see. Wouldn't it? And of course, we can share it here on our show. The phone number here, like I said, we are doing this thing live today. So if you're watching us live on Facebook, the phone number you can call in at is 662-254-4678. I'm seeing in our comment section on Facebook Live right now, it's like, if I only wasn't at work, I understand. That is kind of a bummer when you're at work and you want to call in, but not able to. So if you can, if anyone can call it, we can make it sound like it's a business call or something. I'll play along, and then your boss will never know that you're calling into a ghost podcast. But hey, it's Friday afternoon too, so I was thinking, you can probably get away with a little bit right now. Reading some of the comments here that we're getting on our Facebook Live feed. Lonnie says, I adore listening to you guys. I found you a couple months ago on Spotify and am slowly working my way through the episodes. I listen while at work and while doing things around the house, hoping to become an EPP the next couple of paychecks. I think you'll really enjoy those EPP episodes. And one of those things that we've added into the EPP episodes or experience and the extra stuff you get is a whole other podcast right now with Dream Meetings. And I'm thinking, as Dream Meetings continues to evolve and continues to grow, because we've made 5 episodes now, and all 5 are up at the EPP website for EPPs to download. I think I'm going to always continue to post those episodes up there before they go live, and it'll probably be on average about 3 to 4 weeks before they go live, because that's going to be a weekly podcast. So I think that'll be another perk of being an EPP, is getting access to those episodes well before anybody else. Always trying to find new extra things I can give the EPPs, because really, like I said, that's what fuels the show. That's what keeps it on the air. So whatever we can do to make it worth your while for that $5 a month, we greatly appreciate, because like I said, without that, we would not be doing this thing and not be able to put this whole thing together. So please do 662-254-4678, the number to call in if you are watching us live on Facebook right now, and you can interact with us live and talk about your ghostly experience. So please do dial in. Even if there's a call going on, I will answer, and we'll get to you right after that current call is on. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Sandra from Texas. I was watching a podcast the other day. It's another paranormal ghost type of podcast. And their guest was a lady named Jenny Ashford. And she wrote a book called Poltergeist and the Unseen Hand. And it was very interesting. They were talking about the stages of a typical poltergeist encounter. And I just wanted to share that with you guys, because I thought it would be pretty interesting. She says that stage 1 would be really minor stuff. You're not even sure if it's a paranormal thing yet. You might hear tapping, walking or just weird funny noises, but you're not really sure if it's anything. You just think it might be the house settling, or it might just be the house making normal noises. In stage two, this is when things start to look a little more strange, a little more paranormal. You might start to see objects moving, objects disappearing, like your keys suddenly are gone and then you find them later, or even electrical malfunctions, like your appliances are not working properly, your lights might flicker on and off, and the noises that you've been hearing from stage one start to get louder and more obvious. In stage three is what they call the apparitional stage, and this is where you start to see things. Not necessarily ghosts, but you might start to see strange shadows or mists from the corner of your eye. You think your eyes are playing tricks on you. You might think you're just tired or you're just stressed out, and you start to see more things happening in this stage. Stage four is when the phenomenon started to directly interact with you. It might start to bite you, hit you, push you, grab you while you're sleeping, grab your feet. Most of the poltergeist infestations don't progress beyond this point, but there are two more stages after this. And stage five is what's called the incubus-succubus stage. This is similar to stage four, but it's a little more severe because it involves sexual assault. And you might chalk this up to just having sexual dreams. You might just think, you know, you're dreaming when you wake up, but it's actually really happening to you. There's a lot of information online about this. It's pretty interesting. And then stage six is what they call the possession stage. This is where it seems as though the person has been taken over by another personality, or what they call demon possession. And that's the most severe poltergeist stage. And it can, I've heard it even progressing pretty far, like, for example, in the stage where objects start moving, things can be thrown pretty hard. Like, there's a lot of stories that I've heard on your show where people experience things being thrown, like that one girl that talked about the, I think it was like a Pyrex dish that was thrown and broke into a million tiny pieces, and those are, like, extremely strong. That was crazy. So that's a stage two. So it's kind of interesting to know the stages, and I just thought you guys might enjoy that. I love your show. Keep it up. You're doing an awesome job. Thank you.
Couldn't you see that, like, being turned into, like, a child's, like, a nursery rhyme or some sort of fun song like Daniel Tiger would sing? It's like the five or the six stages of possession. Number one, it slowly progresses to just being horrific. I mean, that's that'd be horrible. You mind, you're like, oh, the kids are singing songs together out on the porch. What is it? What the hell is that? That would be entertaining and disturbing all at the same time. We did receive a call that came in during that, and I did pick up, but I think they hung up. So if you called during that, that's fine. Please dial again at 662-254-4678 so we can get to you. And that's really just kind of the rule of thumb here. If you're going to call into the show, you're more than welcome to. I can't obviously speak to you at that exact second because you're playing a callback, but I will answer. And you'll just have to sit there and kind of listen for a few moments, and then we'll get to you as soon as possible. So 662-254-4678 to call in live, and then, like I said, if we answer, don't hang up, just be patient. We got to finish up the current call, and then we'll jump over to you as soon as that the call is wrapped up. And I see an incoming call right now, so let's try and go to that. So, hi, are you there?
Hi,
who's this?
My name is Glenda. I'm calling from Miami, Florida.
Hi, Glenda. How is the world in Miami today? Is it hot there?
Rainy. It's rainy, rainy, rainy.
Rainy? It's been like dry as hell here. We haven't had anything for like weeks. We had a horrible spring where just flooding was going on everywhere, but now it's like good luck getting anything to grow.
Raining all week.
Well, there you go.
Non-stop and thunderstorms everywhere.
Ah, creepy. So what do you got for us? What, you got a question or a story?
I have a story that stuck with me for years,
okay.
And it's so vivid. So I'll start by saying, when I was, I'd say roughly between 4 and 5, somewhere around there, I used to live in Miami, Florida with my parents. Now I live alone. What had happened was, okay, so when I was younger, I was always scared to sleep alone.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, my grandmother, she would travel back and forth in and out of the country. So she would stay with several of her sons at a time. At this point, she was staying with us at our house. We had a 3-bedroom house. My parents lived in one room. I had a brother. I have a brother, an older brother. He would sleep in another room. And then there was my room. But in my room, my grandmother was sleeping with me. We had 2 beds in a kind of rather small room, but because I was scared or whatever, they put her to sleep with me. So one day I was sleeping in my bed and my grandmother was sleeping in her bed. Her bed was facing the doorway. So at this point, I don't remember why, if my grandmother was in the room, why the door was open. But the door was open, and I guess it was just, like, for my purposes. You know, if something happened, I guess my parents could get up right away and come to me if something happened, but whatever. The door was open, and my brother used to like to play around with me, like, tease me. But I'll go ahead and explain, and you know, explain what my brother was saying. So I remember I woke up in the middle of the night, and I don't know, for some reason, I was just scared. So I ran to my grandmother, and her bed, like the way she was sleeping was, okay, it was like vertical towards the wall. So like when I went to her bed, I was between her and the wall. So I went ahead and slept there, but I had a nightlight on that day because I used to sleep with nightlights. So something told me to look towards the door. When I looked towards the door, I promise you, there was like a floating hand coming from one side of the wall, and it was like with its finger spread open, like kind of waving, not in a fast nor slow motion, but there was a hand in it, like coming from the side of the wall. I'm like, what in the world is that? That I got so creeped out. I went and put my head under the covers, and I went back to sleep. It never fazed me to think, oh, okay, well, let me wake up my grandmother and see who's playing with the on the doorway. So I'm thinking, like, that must mean my brother playing around. But I'm thinking in my head, I made no noise when I woke up. I didn't wake my grandma up to say, oh, can I sleep with you? My brother is 5 years older than me. So around that time, he was probably 10. But he was already, like, very mature for his age. And he would sleep with the door closed. And, you know, he was just in his own world, his older world. But I'm thinking to myself, how does my brother know if I was awake to actually tease me and say, oh, look, there's something in the middle of the night waving towards you in the dark. Mind you, the hand that I saw was vivid.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like in the middle of the dark, I see something, like I'm thinking, oh, is that something, like I know what I saw, and it was clear as day as what I saw. So I remember asking him the next day, no, I told myself, don't ask him right away because he might play around and, you know, try to fool with you. So I waited months. I will never forget. I waited months. I was like, hey, George, did you happen to play a trick on me because I saw your hand? He's like, no. So I was like, okay, I can't trust my brother right now because I'm thinking he's playing around. I promise you, it was about 2 years ago where it hit me again to ask him, because for many years I wanted to ask him, but I was like, I feel like he's going to play around and joke with me. So about 2 years ago, I have a 6-year-old son. So about 2 years ago, I went ahead and I asked him. I was like, hey, George, you remember that time that you stuck your hand in the middle of the hallway trying to scare me in the middle of my sleep? He's like, no. I was like, no, seriously. Come on, stop playing. Like, I know it was you. He's like, no, it really wasn't. I was like, are you sure? And he was as serious as daylight. Like, I can tell when he's playing around. So this day, I will never know what that hand was
mm-hmm.
in the middle of the hallway just waving at me.
Well, plus, I mean, if it appeared to be kind of disembodied and floating, that's a whole different thing. I mean, there's no way he would be able to have projected that or made that happen. It wasn't, because it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like it wasn't just somebody reaching their arm in through a door, correct?
No, it wasn't. It was like the door was open and somebody just happened to put their hand on the, like, I don't know. It wasn't like coming towards me,
yeah.
But it was just like off the side.
Yeah.
And I was like, what in the world?
And it's interesting when you have things like that. And we've had stories before where people just see a hand. And, of course, the first thing everyone goes to in their mind is like the Addams Family or something, and thing.
Yes.
But I think a lot of it might just be, you know, if it is something that that is an entity that's there, maybe it's just that's all that you're able to pick up on. Whether it's you that's the only depth of ability that you have to pick up on seeing it, or that's all the power it's able to manifest at that time to project itself outward, and it just kind of shows up a little bit. Right there. It's almost like a laser light. You know, if you shoot a laser light across a room, you're only going to see the dot, but suddenly that room gets foggy. You can see the whole light wherever that fog is. It's not that the beam is not there. It's just for whatever, the energy, the fog is being able to manifest and let you see more of it at that moment in time. I think sometimes when there's like partial body operations and people are seeing just parts of things, I think that's kind of in the world of what's going on, having to do with what sort of energy it's able to muster up to project itself. I also think sometimes they're not even intending to project themselves.
I have no idea what that was. I don't know if it was something after that. I've never had an encounter again, neither did I try. And I remember my friends telling me, one of my close friends telling me about her sister and her experience. And I'm like, listen, I want nothing to do with it. I had one scare, and I'm still trying to figure out to this day at the age of 26, what the hell that was.
One scare like that is enough, I think. You know, some folks have one thing after another, and then there's other folks who have none, and they're just, oh, I wish I had something happen to me. I think more times than not from folks that do have something happen to them, you may want to be careful what you wish for.
Exactly, because like you said, once is enough for anybody.
Yeah,
I had my one share, and I recently had with my son, a quick experience. It was about last week, and I was like, maybe because I'm listening to all these ghost stories, because it's been like about to be a year since I've been listening to you guys, and I'm like, am I bringing this home? And I remember there was an episode where a young lady was saying that I think the show is causing her to have apparitions now or haunting her. I don't know, but I was thinking maybe that's happening to me, because last week my son were in the room. Mind you, I live in a 3-story townhouse, so our window faces the street. So I'm thinking maybe it was a glare that he saw or something, but it was kind of off because we had the curtains kind of half open, half closed. I don't know. I couldn't make anything out of it. I was trying to see every reasonable explanation, but I wasn't aware of what he saw. So I was like, me and him were laying down on the bed facing the wall, and the window's behind us. And he's like, Mommy, did you see that? There was a shadow that was on the wall, and it just flew to the corner. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, I was like, just ignore it. Don't pay attention to him. Maybe he'll leave it alone. And, maybe there really wasn't nothing. Maybe it was just a passing car or something. And I'm just like, I do not know what he saw, and I don't want to know what he saw. So I was like, no, you didn't see anything. Don't worry about it. And I was like, maybe if you don't pay attention to those things, they won't try. Keep trying. Hopefully.
Yeah. And sometimes I think, especially with kids, that is the best explanation rather than getting into the whole world of what could possibly be. They're not going to understand it quite yet. And there's no sense in raising the anxiety there, which could in turn attract more things. So I think you did the right thing as a parent there. Creepy stuff. Thank you for calling in and sharing your stories with us. I greatly appreciate that.
And I appreciate your podcast. You guys are amazing and doing a wonderful job.
All right. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, too.
All right. Bye-bye. Phone number is 662-254-4678 if you want to call in live to our podcast like she just did. We can do a little chatting about your paranormal experiences, or if you have a question about the show or something that you've always wanted to try and have answered, you can call that in as well, or you can type it out in the comment section on Facebook as we go through today's episode, trying to answer as many of those as we can. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hi, bye-bye. Phone number is 662-254-4678.
Yeah, there.
Call in live to our podcast.
You got to turn that down. I'm going to.
We can do a little chat.
When you call in, you have to turn the radio down, if you will. Hi, who's this?
Hey, Tony.
Hi, what's your name?
Shelly. I'm from North Carolina, originally from California.
Okay.
I've had so many experiences, but one that stands out to me is, I was working at an elementary school as a custodian. I worked late nights.
Okay.
And I was listening to your guys' podcast at work, when I left work, I had turned off my headphones, and I was driving home from work, and all of a sudden, my headphones came on, and they were powered off. They came on, and your podcast starts playing in my headphones as I'm driving down the road past the cemetery.
Uh-huh.
And then off to the other side of the cemetery, it looked like there was someone. When my lights hit the person, there was the lights just went right through the person, and they were just walking down. It was just this shadow of a person walking down the road.
How do you think our podcast tied into that? With I mean, that's kind of eerie how it kind of came on at a certain time, and then something happened around that certain time.
I was listening. I don't even remember which episode I was listening to.
Yeah.
But the episode kind of gave me the heebie-jeebies. And then I left work, and I live in kind of a rural area.
Mm-hmm.
And when I left work, I know I turned off the headphones because I checked to make sure that the little light was off. And
sure.
They were powered off. And then as I'm driving down the road, all of a sudden, the podcast starts playing in my headphones again that are supposedly turned off. And then off to the side of the road is this shadow figure of a man just walking down the road, and there's literally no one there.
Yeah, it makes you think about everything that surrounds an entity or a ghost or whatever you want to call it when it's out there, and how aware those entities are of the surroundings that they otherwise wouldn't be able to be. Like if you were just a human walking down the road and you drove by, I'd have no idea you had a podcast there, on your device or anything else. But for whatever reason, it seems that sometimes these things have knowledge of their environment going and coming around them. And I'm thinking sometimes they use that knowledge to help essentially, make you aware that they're aware or make you aware of them. And I think that might be what happened there.
Another separate incident that mm-hmm. happened. We lived in a really old house back in California.
Mm-hmm.
And when I had my son, about 6 months after I had my son, he woke up probably about 3 o'clock in the morning, and we had a spare bedroom, and I didn't want to wake my husband because he had to go to work. So I picked up my son and I took him to the spare bedroom, and these doors were really hard to open, and they had these little poltering lights.
Mm-hmm.
And out of nowhere, I'm laying on the bed in the dark, and this closet door, you can hear it. It's one of those doors that creaks, and it's like,
mm-hmm.
And it's creepy when it creaks. It creaks open. And the pull chain light comes on, and then it just feels like someone is standing over me and the baby, and I started panicking. All I could think to say was, "You're not welcome here." And then all of a sudden, whatever it was, went back in the closet, closed the door, and pulled the chain light off.
That's amazing how sometimes just the simple request will do its job. I mean, when it comes to ghosts, I think my assumption when we started this show and started hearing stories and people saying that all I did was ask it to leave and it left was, nah, that can't be the norm. But that really has turned out to be one of the most common things that are done to get something to stop bugging them in their home. Of course, we have ones that go far beyond that. But that's amazing how sometimes it happens. And especially when you have something more than just a door creaking, you have the pull chain light going on. That's far more than just, a draft going through the house and your door creaking.
And my husband and I talked about this house recently, and for some reason, whenever we were in the house, it was like everybody felt really angry.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as you left the house, you were happy and you were fine and everything was great again. I couldn't wait to get out of that house.
Very oppressive. Yeah. Building. Unfortunately, sometimes that's how that works out. Thank you for the call. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you. I love your show. I listen to it every night on my way to work.
Thank you, Shelley. Take care. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
This is Crystal.
Hey, Crystal. You got a story for us?
I was calling the live thing, but
yeah, we are live. And you are live.
Okay.
There's a bit of delay.
Me and my daughter were just wondering, what does it mean if, like, we got two dogs, and the other night, both of them was staring into a room and barking, but they were scared to death to go into that room.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Danger. That there's something there that shouldn't be, and that could be anything from a human being to an animal to the possibility of it being something paranormal is certainly there. But I would always encourage you to try and eliminate the first two before jumping to the paranormal right away, because obviously animals and things like that. What type of room was it?
It was which one of them was afraid to go into the kitchen. And one of them, my dog, was afraid to go into my bedroom.
And you're positive that there wasn't another human being there, number one, or number two, any other animal or anything like that could be in the house?
No, there wasn't. No, I was in the bedroom
mm-hmm.
whenever my dog went in there, and she would not. She was scared to death to go in there.
Sure. I would say some sort of danger that they were sensing. And, like I said, it could be a lot of things, and it could still be in the realm of paranormal. It could be, a scent. It could be, many things. But they were certainly sensing something that was out of place.
But you asked me if I've got a story. I've got a story for you.
Okay, sure.
Okay, I've got multiple stories, but this is this is the funniest one.
Okay.
One night I was having a sleepover, and it was whenever I was probably like 12 or 13, and I'm 40 now, mm-hmm. so that was many years ago back. But anyway, I was having a sleepover, and I was the first one that fell asleep, and my two friends, they told me the next morning that I was laying there asleep, and I raised up. And I looked at them, and I said, she's back. And they was just looking at me, and the door was just creaked wide, just a little bit open. And they looked out the door, and they seen a woman floating through the air to the door.
And you were, when you say raised up, do you mean that they said you were, like, levitating?
No, I was laying on the floor.
Okay.
And I sat up.
Okay.
That's what I meant, sat
okay.
up.
Okay. For a minute, and I was like, you're levitating, like, and the woman's going down the hall. That's pretty weird.
No,
okay.
I was like, she's back. And
okay.
I pointed to the door.
Okay.
And they looked out the door, and there was a woman floating down the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that they looked down to make sure that she was floating. And they said that she was floating. And then all of a sudden, whenever she came to the door, she just stuck her arm right through the door, right through the space mm-hmm. between the door and the wall, and then jerked it back and just floated back.
And do you have any recollection of this, or did they say, when they say you raised up, when you sat up, was it kind of like almost a catatonic, possessed dream type state? Just you say it, then you're out again. Is that how it worked?
Well, they said that I raised up and my eyes was open, but they know that I was asleep.
Mm-hmm. But somehow you were aware of her being there,
yeah.
even in that state.
Yeah.
Do you have any other recollections of this person or this entity in that house other than that night?
No, but there was this one time... my mom, we was just back then moving into this house, and my mom was cleaning the kitchen, and she felt breathing
mm-hmm.
all around her. And she was like, okay. And she just said, she just went on with her cleaning and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she still felt breathing around her. And she said, I've had it. I'm done with this house. And hold on, my daughter's got something to tell you.
All right.
It happened to you, why am I telling it? Anyways,
She told me that while I was sitting in the living room, this happened, like, I think, like, 2 months ago, probably.
Mm-hmm.
She saw the room to my door slam shut, and I've got multiple codes hanging on there, so it wasn't that easy to slam it shut.
Sure.
And somebody thought that it was the wind or the air conditioning shutting it, but we don't have that powerful of an air conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Like,
so I don't know what happened to her, but a lot of paranormal stuff has happened to everybody in this house except for me. I think I scare them. I don't know.
Or, yeah, I mean, obviously you've experienced, you know, something with a door, and because that's a physical thing happening, but I wonder if there's just a level of sensitivity that some of your family members have that you, you know, may consider yourself lucky to not have, that they're able to pick up on some of these things and have to experience some of these things where maybe your level is just not quite there, which can be a blessing.
Yeah, but unfortunately me, I'm actually like delving into the paranormal stuff, and
you want it until it happens, though, sometimes. Yeah. So we had a conversation earlier with someone where it's like, yeah, a lot of people who don't have it want it, and then they have it, they're like, okay, I'm good, let's cut this out.
Yeah, but like I was awake one night and something, like, I kept hearing some kind of plates shifting in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And I was like, Nana, do you hear that? And she was like, yeah, but mm-hmm. It's probably the old house settling. And I was like, yeah, that's what they always say.
The house is settling and moving plates.
Yeah.
Just cleaning up the kitchen at the same time. What a great house. Well, thank you. Thank you guys for calling in and sharing your stories with us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Have a great weekend. Bye-bye. Our phone number is 662-254-4678 if you want to call in live here as we're getting kind of closer to wrapping up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you've been sitting there going, I want to call, here's your last call. This is the last call to call in for the show. I saw one of the comments here on Facebook. Somebody had posted that they had driven by the area where we're at. We're in Branson, and close to where we live, there's this old, and it's about 10, 15 years, I think, old development of homes, and it's closer to the Branson West area, that went defunct, and these homes were built. No one ever lived in them. Half are only halfway built. Some are pretty close to being completed, but they are just something out of The Walking Dead. It looks like a movie set, quite honestly. Anyway, it can be Googled, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Just look up, like, abandoned Branson West development or something of that nature, and you'll find it. But somebody said that they saw it and thought it was just so creepy. And I just wanted to share, if I know we've talked about this on the show before, somebody recently went over there with a camera, and you're not supposed to do that. Somebody did, though, and they put a big video up on YouTube walking through the interior of some of those houses, and it is some creepy stuff. Nothing ghostly, but just if you're into abandoned, obviously, and you know, urban exploration type stuff, it's really interesting to see the interiors of those homes. And I'm glad they did, because I've been very tempted to go over there myself and try and wander through with the camera, but now my curiosity has been answered through the joys of watching someone else on YouTube do that on their own. But very, very creepy stuff. Excuse me. I had to cough there for a moment. Normally I have a mute button over here, but I have nothing else, no one else to be talking at the moment while I cough. So I think that will probably wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thanks to everyone who participated on Facebook Live. Greatly appreciate that. And by calling in, always fun to be able to do some live calls. It's been a while since we've done that. Some interesting stuff with EPPs coming up involving that. And we'll talk about that again very soon here on the air. So that wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. For Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.